Blog Talk Radio.
Hey y'all, this is Steel Ivory,
and you're listening to
Weekdays with Merv.
You were winning over girls at 8 years old, drove the truck and trailer at 10. When the cool kids wanted you to fit their mold, you made the quiet ones your friends. And you took up all your KTM dirt bike just to put it back together again. When dad worked late and the storm got rough, you filled his boots and plowed the drive. When grandpa got sick, I was giving up. You stayed and we prayed all night. And if you're doing all this at just 14, imagine you.
Listeners, and welcome to another edition of Weekdays with Merv. Today on the show, we welcome super talented singer-songwriter Brooke Lynn. We'll talk with her about her career, music, and anything she's working on that she can talk about. This is going to be fun, y'all. And with that being said, let's go ahead and welcome the super talented Miss Brooke Lynn to the show. Hey, Brooke, how are you?
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you again for doing this.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me on. I've been really looking forward to being on your show and chatting about all the music things.
Absolutely. And I've got to tell you, I'm right off the top, I absolutely love that song we just played.
Oh, thank you so much. It's such a special song to me and to, like, my co-writers who wrote that song with me, it's funny, we were actually planning, we wrote that song late June or July, and we were planning to release that song last year, actually, last November. But then I had a song go viral on TikTok, so we ended up releasing that song instead. But it's been really magical just finally releasing that song because it is so special. I think just in light of everything that has been happening in the world, it's just kind of been a heavy, heavy past year, I would say. So it was nice just, releasing a song that's just full of hope and light and everything amongst like all the fear and the unknowns of today. So thank you.
And as I was listening to it, it sort of reminded me of the message of Tim McGraw's Humble and Kind.
Oh yes. Oh, that's such a beautiful song. Thank you. That's really incredible. That song is wonderful. So thank you. That's such a compliment.
And I don't know if you know this, but I heard somewhere that Lori McKenna wrote that song as a lullaby for her daughter.
Yes, yes. I feel like I've heard that too, and that's just so sweet. I love the sentiment behind that, and just the lullaby, the melodic lullaby is just so soothing. And I think that's kind of like what we were going for too. We didn't really have that song in mind, but now that you're mentioning it, like it has a similar like soothing melody to it, which is essentially what we were going for. So.
Well, I think you've absolutely accomplished that with that one. Before we get into what I had planned today, just kind of tell the listeners how you got into music in the first place.
Yeah, well, so I'm originally from a small town in Minnesota, like central Minnesota. I honestly have grown up singing. Like I've been singing since I could even remember. I used to like sing along to the radio like all the time. I grew up on country music and pretty much solely country music, a little bit of 80s rock, and a little bit of contemporary Christian music, but mostly country. And so I've been singing and doing, I started doing singing competitions when I did my first one when I was like 12. But even before then, I was like singing in church and stuff when I was younger, just like singing songs to, tracks, like instrumental tracks and stuff. I've always loved like, performance and all of that, would do solos in choir or music class in elementary school and stuff. So, I always loved the talent shows. Like that was always, for some of my classmates, it was always like the big basketball game or the big football game. And I'm like, talent show time. Yes. So I've always been singing. But I really started getting into more of like the live music, aspect of like playing shows probably when I was like 14. I tried out for a lot of like, of the talent, like the singing competition shows, like The Voice. I didn't really try out for American Idol. I don't really know why. I just mainly have tried out for The Voice quite a few times. And then I tried out for The X Factor in Chicago one year, and I met a guy at these auditions who invited me to Nashville that like coming summer. So I was 14 when I met this guy, and he was like, he just said he felt compelled to invite me to Nashville. He had like never heard me sing or anything. And so I sent him a demo. He asked me to send him a demo of me singing like three cover songs. So I sent him the demo, and he's like, hey, come to Nashville. And I ended up spending that entire summer, like 3 months, in Nashville, just staying in like an extended stay place. And it was the most incredible summer ever. My whole family was down here from time to time. I had people just come and stay with me, and I ended up recording my first album then when I was like 14, 15 that summer. So that was like absolutely incredible. And that was also the first time that I really got into songwriting. I feel like when I was growing up, the industry was a lot different. There were like songwriters who wrote songs and then the artists would sing them, you know, sing the songs and pick the songs and stuff. And so I think when I was around 14, 15, when I was here in Nashville, the industry was kind of in that transition process of like, now the artists need to be writing their songs. So I had a producer that got me into co-writing. And so that was really my first go at writing. And I was really young. So, I mean, I didn't have a ton of life experience at that point. So, but I co-wrote a few songs and recorded a 10-song album called Little Angels. And it was an incredible experience. But then I ended up finishing high school in Minnesota. And I played shows around Minnesota, North Dakota area. When I was growing up, I would play the songs off of my album and would just have some like bands back me, which was so fun. The live performance aspect of the music career is like my favorite thing ever. It's my favorite part. I love singing for people and entertaining people and chatting with people like after the show. I get so much energy from those experiences, and I can't wait till everything opens up again so I can get back on stage and perform again. But so I've been doing that for quite a while, and really got into it that summer when I was 14, 15, and it kind of just grew from there, and my love has just grown, and now I'm here in Nashville permanently. I live here, and I've lived here for 2.5 years and have been doing the whole songwriting thing, and have an EP that's coming out this year, so it's going to be an exciting year.
Awesome, and I love what you said about Nashville because I live about 2.5 hours west of Nashville. As a matter of fact, I've got family that lives about 20 minutes outside of downtown, so. I tend to go to Nashville pretty much every single chance I get. It's like my second home, you know. And I totally get it. I mean, Nashville to me, it is like my absolute favorite place in this world.
It really is. It's honestly, when I tell people, like, when I was younger and I was coming back and forth to Nashville, starting when I was like 14, 15, I was like, it just feels like home. And everyone's like, you're being a drama queen. It's not your home, you know? And I was like, no. Like every time I drive into Nashville, I'm like, this is home. And I feel like this is my home. You know, Minnesota will always be my home,
right?
But that's honestly because my family's there. Like if my family were to move here, you know, I don't know that I would go back to Minnesota often. I would still go back, but I don't know how often I would go back. You know what I mean?
Right. Oh,
yeah,
totally, absolutely.
That's so cool.
And I've been going to Nashville off and on for the past over 20 years. So I've grown to just absolutely love that city. And every time I go, it seems like there's something new to discover. That seems like every time I go, you know?
Oh, yeah, for sure. There's always something going on here, which is really cool. It's a lot different. It was quite a transition moving here, you know, in my early 20s, because there are so many things for people in their 20s to do here, and to, like, there's so many ways to meet new people. Like, where I went to school and, like, growing up in Minnesota, there weren't really things to just go and do. Also, I mean, it's like negative 50,000 degrees every single day there, so you can't really do anything anyway, but but here there's always something going on, and like, just, I mean, whether it's like just a cool hike, like there's so many things to do, and the city is just bustling. So many people are moving here every day, and you're so right, like there's just so many new things that people are creating. Like the city is so full of creative human beings that are just coming up with new and fun and exciting things. So, yeah.
Absolutely. And I totally agree with the Minnesota being negative 50,000 degrees because because I was up there. I've been to Minnesota once in my life, and it was during summer, but I mean it was still pretty chilly.
Yeah, summers can be warm, but honestly, it's only warm for like 2 months, really. Like that's really that's all you get, and then it's kind of back down to like, you know, the 50s and 60s, which normal people would think that that's like fall weather, but that's still like summer weather for us because for a majority of the year, it's in like the 20s and 30s and 40s. So.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. But I mean, I love my time in Minnesota. I'm not saying anything wrong with it. I mean, I just absolutely love my time in Minnesota.
And all the lakes are great. Yeah. Sure. Just
absolutely.
Not in the winter time. It's quite an experience.
No, ma'am.
Yeah. When I was home for Christmas, we had like 3 blizzards, and I had to like relearn how to drive in the snow. I was like, I'm literally gonna crash my car. I don't know what I'm doing. Like I haven't had to do that in
That's
so
crazy.
Long. I know.
That's crazy.
I love it.
I did have a few kind of get to know you questions if you're okay with that.
Oh yeah, of course.
Okay. First question I had for you, I assist pretty much everybody. So if you could go back and change one thing about your career thus far, would you, and what would it be?
You know, that question is really interesting. I actually, my little brother was actually recently he was writing a speech and he interviewed me for the speech and he asked me a similar question. And honestly, I really wouldn't change a thing. I think it would be easy for me to say, so I, after high school, I went to college in Minnesota and I went to a small school. I studied biology and neuroscience and I was planning to go to medical school to become a physician and I got into 2 medical schools and I was planning to go to, a medical school, the University of Minnesota Duluth. And it was like a month before I was supposed to go to school that I decided not to go to medical school and to move to Nashville instead, which sounds insane. And it was insane. But I just felt like as cliche or cheesy as this may sound to some people, like I really truly believe that God just changed my heart and wanted me to move here. And that's the only way that I can explain it because I'm not normally a big risk taker. I am not normally someone who just changes their mind very quickly, like on a whim. I'm not impulsive. But it was like one of those big life-changing moments and I'm so happy that I did that. And so I think it's easy. I was actually, when I was applying to college, I was going between going to Belmont. I applied to Belmont, got in, and then I applied to the school that I went to called Concordia. And so I got into both, only colleges that I applied to, because I knew that I wanted to go to one of the two. And I decided ultimately to stay home and go to Concordia. And I wasn't ready to move away from my family yet. I'm very, very close with my family, and my little brother, Trevor, is 9.5 years younger than me. So he was still very young at that point in my life, and I was not ready to move that far away from him and to miss out on, like, you know, the little things, like his birthday, basketball games, football games, you know, like staying home in Minnesota, I was still able to go to those things, and that was really important for me. And so sometimes I get a little frustrated that I didn't, you know, sometimes I'll get frustrated with myself that I didn't go to Belmont because I think my life would be very, very different if I had gone to Belmont. I think I probably would have not even studied science. I would have studied like songwriting or music business, and I probably know a lot more and be a lot more prepared for what I'm doing right now. And I would probably have a lot more connections and know a lot more people. But when I take a step back and I think about the whole – like the whole process of like growing up and having these huge life experiences, I am so thankful that I went to college in Minnesota, because I have a relationship with my brother that I would not trade for anything in the world. And I was able to grow up those 4 years. I don't think I was ready for the music business when I was 18. I thought I was, you know, you always think that you're ready. But looking back, I'm like, I have grown in so many ways because of college. And I had experiences that I never would have had I gone to Belmont instead. You know, I got to experience the medical field, which is incredible. I love people so much, and I love the healing process. And studying science was incredible. I loved every minute of it. It was hard, and I had to work my tail off. And it was very competitive, and it was cutthroat to get into medical school. And I think that that whole process taught me how to work hard, put your head down, and, like, just go after what you want, even if people, you know, tell you that it's impossible or that it's hard. Like, I mean, I graduated with a 4.0, and, like, and I'm not saying that to brag, but I'm saying that because, like, I had to learn how to put my head down and do the work. And that is so valuable. I would not trade that for the world. And then I also had a couple of opportunities to travel when I was in school that I don't think I would have done either. I was able to go to Tanzania in East Africa. I've been there twice, and both of those times were through my school. And like, I have, like, Tanzania is my favorite place on this earth. And like, I know that I'm going to be doing work there in the future. And like, I love it so much. I love the people there. I've created relationships there. And I think that experience, like, that is a life experience that you cannot get anywhere else. And so, you know, just the relationships, experiences, I just feel like I'm such a better person and such a more mature person because of the experiences that I had. So honestly, I really wouldn't change anything. I think every experience in your life and every decision that you make helps you to grow as a human being. So.
And I totally get that. I mean, and this is just speaking for me personally. I've been doing this podcast for the last probably 9 years now, and it is the absolute best decision I've ever made.
Yeah, that's amazing.
And I've been covering country music for probably since 2014. I've been covering on the country industry, and I tell you this right now. I'll say this too at the end of the interview in a few minutes. But if there's ever anything I can do for you, I don't care what it is, whether it's music related or just as a friend. I mean, don't ever hesitate to reach out.
That's awesome. Thank you so much. I really appreciate that. That's so sweet.
Absolutely. And I did have a couple more questions for you. Then I think we're gonna talk a little bit about what's coming up for you. I know you said about the album that's coming out, but we'll talk about that in a few minutes. But when everything is said and done with your career 30, 40 years down the road, or whenever that might be, what impact or legacy would you like to leave on the music industry?
That is a very deep question. I love that. I think a big goal of my music is just to empower people and to encourage them. I want my music to encourage people and to empower them to just, like, be proud of who they are and thus to, like, empower others through that. I write and I release music that I feel not only resonates with me, but that I feel will resonate with my audience and with my listeners. I think it's so important. Like I'm doing music for myself, but honestly, I do music as much for myself as I do for my listeners. I want everyone to be able to connect and to find a part of themselves and their story in every song that I release, whether, you know, it's, you know, grieving or whether it's celebrating, whether it's like joining with others and like coming together despite everybody's differences. Like I want my music to be my listeners' music. I want them to seek my music, you know, for whatever they're going through in life, whether it's, you know, whether they want to like celebrate a big win or celebrate, you know, life, or whether it's, you know, whether they're grieving a loss of a relationship, of a loved one. I really just want, I want my music to empower people in every area, in every circumstance, whether, you know, whether it is a loss or whether it is a joyful gain. I want them to find, you know, power in that and love in that and thus share that with other people.
That is awesome. You know, and the reason I ask that question is because like I said earlier, I've been in this podcast game about 9 years now, and I've kind of been thinking about my own legacy in this space. And what I want to create and carve out in this industry. And I feel like regardless of whatever I do in the podcast industry and or in the music industry, I think I just want to be known as just being a good dude, you know?
Yeah, I love that.
And I want whoever I have on, whether it be an artist, whether it be a solo radio host, whoever, I want to create a space where you guys feel safe and that your stories and music are hard because in this industry that's not usually the case in this industry. I'm going to be honest with you. So I feel like I just want to like I said earlier create a space where you guys can be heard.
Well, I love that, and I know that we all really appreciate the opportunity to share our stories and our music, and just being supported and having that is really incredible, because it is. It's a tough industry, and it's really tough to get your music and your story heard, and you really have to fight for it. So having platforms like this, it's really incredible. So thank you so much.
Absolutely, and I made a promise to myself many, many years ago that I will do everything in my power to make sure that y'all are heard.
Well, that's really incredible, and we just really appreciate that so much. So thank you. You are making a difference, so thank you.
I seriously love this industry with absolutely every fiber of my being, and I know it's obviously got its obvious flaws at times, like everything else does, but there's no industry that I'd rather be covering.
Yeah, amen and amen to that. The music industry is beautiful. I mean, every industry has the downfalls and the trouble, but overall,
right,
like it really is beautiful. It is a beautiful industry.
And I tell you what I miss about going to Nashville. I miss the city for one, which is huge, but I miss music industry events. like award shows and stuff like that, because seeing as I don't live in Nashville permanently, it's like a family reunion every time I go because I've made so many friends in that town, it's just not even funny.
Oh, I know. I miss all the live things. It's kind of a bummer. It's honestly harder to see people now that we aren't doing like the live events anymore, because it is fun. Just going out to a round on like a Wednesday night, you can see so many people.
Exactly. And my favorite places in town, I love the Listening Room.
That is my
absolute favorite place in town is the Listening Room. And funny story for you. I actually met Garth Brooks at the Listening Room back in June.
Oh, my gosh. That's incredible. That's so cool. Was he playing?
I followed the Listening Room on social media. So I was scrolling through there one day, and I come across their Instagram post about Garth Brooks playing. And I thought, Garth Brooks playing a little venue like that? That doesn't happen anymore.
No, it doesn't. It really doesn't.
That just doesn't happen. And I noticed also it was on my aunt's birthday, and my aunt lives there in Nashville. So I called her up. I said, "Hey, you'll never believe this. Garth Brooks is playing the Listening Room on your birthday, and I can get us tickets. You want to go?" So we go, and Garth just absolutely blows the roof off the place. I'm not even kidding you.
Sure.
He's
incredible.
And after the show, I'm sitting there talking to my aunt. It was my parents, me, my aunt, my uncle. So I'm sitting there, talking to my aunt, and my mom's nowhere in sight, okay? which is not unusual for her. She walks up to me. She goes, "Hey, follow me." I'm going, "Huh? What? So I follow her. She somehow or other talks her way backstage, finds Garth, and
my gosh.
and asks if I can meet him. And he's like, "Yeah, bring him on back." So I go backstage. It's an absolute madhouse back there. I mean, it's so crazy. But Garth comes out. I shake his hand, and I literally spend probably 10 minutes talking to this man.
Oh my gosh! And
it was so insane, and I told him what I do with the podcast, and he goes, "Good. We need people like you out there supporting indie artists." I'm telling you.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, I could have died right there on the spot.
Oh, that's amazing.
I could have died. That's like God coming down and saying, "Son, you're doing something right."
Right. That's so incredible and so reassuring. Like, he is a king. He's a legend.
He is the absolute nicest man I've probably ever met.
Oh, that's so sweet. He does seem like a really great human being.
Oh my gosh, he is the absolute best human ever. To take that long with me, when he, it could have just took 30 seconds, you know.
Right.
To take that long and actually sit down and hear what I had to say was, I came out of that place, I was shaking.
Oh, I would have been too. That's amazing.
I'm like, did that just actually happen? Like, what's going on here?
Was I dreaming, or did this really happen?
Right, exactly. And I said all that to say this. That is a testament to how much this industry wraps its arms around you.
Yeah.
I felt that pretty much every time I've gone to Nashville. This industry is, it's like a family, you know? I mean, that's the only way I can explain it.
It really is. I've honestly, I have made some of the most incredible friends through writing and songwriting retreats, and I'm so grateful and thankful to, it's pretty incredible to do something that you absolutely love with people that you love who are like family.
Absolutely.
I mean, a lot of my co-writers are like some of my greatest friends. So getting to sharing these exciting moments of releasing music together, there's nothing more special than that. So.
Absolutely. And I've been kind of getting into playing music myself here the past maybe 4 or 5 years. I actually play one show a year on the 4th of July at a local place down here. I play with a live band, and I've been doing that probably for the past maybe 3 or 4 years.
Oh, that's so cool. I love that.
And I've, they're actually staring at me right now. I've got a acoustic guitar and an electric guitar right here beside me.
Oh, what kind of acoustic
do
you have?
It's a Fender Californian.
Okay. Sweet.
And my electric is a Johnson, but the guy I bought it off of took the Johnson sticker off of it and put my last name on it. So it's kind of
that's cool.
It's kind of one of a kind.
That's so cool.
I was like, dude, this is awesome.
Yeah, no, that is super cool. I love that.
A couple more questions for you, then I think we're going to let you go. Whether it's in your personal life or professional life, what's the best advice you've ever been given?
The best advice that I've ever been given. I think probably the best professional advice I've ever been given was to find something that you are the best at. It can be the smallest little thing, but something that you are the best at that makes you stand out, that makes you different from everybody else, and do that better than anybody else. Because in the music industry, there's a million people in Nashville. I mean, not really, but there's so many people in Nashville who are so, so incredibly talented. Everyone can sing well. Everyone can, play guitar. Obviously different varying levels of skill or whatever, but, there's songwriters. Some people are great at writing lyrics. Some people are melody people. Some people bring in the ideas, but find that one thing in your music career that you are the absolute best at, that you can be the best at all the time. Because you're never going to be the best, all around. So you need to figure out what is going to set you apart. And I think I think the moment that I heard that, that was the moment where I was a lot of stress kind of lifted off of me, because I am very much, I like to be very good at everything that I do. And I like to, I'm a very hard worker, and I'm sometimes a perfectionist in the best and worst ways. And so I'm working on that still. It's kind of a lifelong process, but But just knowing that I didn't have to be the best overall, because there's always going to be someone that's going to be better than you at something. So you need to figure out what makes you stand out, and you need to be better at that than anybody else. And that just kind of put things, I think, into reality for me, and took a lot of weight off my shoulders. And so I think that really helped me to really lean into what I do best and what makes me different. So that was probably the best professional advice that I've ever been given. And probably the best personal advice I've ever been given is to just trust God and give it to God, because honestly, I don't know that I'd be able to do this whole music career without honestly just giving it all to Him and just trusting that He's going to do with it whatever He wants, you know. So,
That's awesome. Last question I've got for you. Now I know you said you've got more music in the works, but besides that, and I know touring is still obviously not happening for the most part, but what's coming up for you besides this new music that you've got coming out?
Yeah, so like over the next 5 months, starting March 5th, I'm going to be releasing a single every month through July. And those are all going to be part of an EP, my debut EP called Hellfire Holy Water. So I'm very excited about that. We're going to be getting some fun music videos for a few of the singles in the works. So I'm really stoked for that. It's going to be so much fun. I have a live show planned for February 25th. It's like a half hour full band show. So I'm really, really excited about that. I have a band that's absolutely incredible, some of my closest friends, and we're really excited to just get out and play, even if it is for a half hour. Things are still weird, so we haven't really planned much as far as like live shows go. I did have a little Midwest tour planned for last year, but of course everything got shut down. I mean, you know, start of March. So unfortunately we were never able to make it up there and do that. So I would love to get like a little tour together, but you know, everything's still up in the air. So I think we're going to try to book some stuff for later this year, but for maybe like a 2-3 week tour kind of thing. But I guess we'll see how this year pans out. I'd love to be playing festivals by the fall, but yeah, just everything's so unknown right now, and kind of just everything is just, you know, paused. So we're trying to book shows, but other than that, just really just releasing music, and then just keep like just writing.
Awesome. Is there anything that we haven't covered today that you'd like to talk about?
No, I mean, the only other thing would just be like my, I released a single last November called Depends on the Friend that blew up on TikTok with over 3 million views. So that was really exciting. And, it was such an incredible experience, and I'm so thankful for it. So, if y'all haven't listened to it or heard the song, it's called Depends on the Friend. It's out on all the streaming platforms. So it's like a female country drinking anthem song. So it's a fun one.
Awesome. Well, thank you again for doing this. This has been so much fun, and probably one of my favorite interviews I've done in a while.
Oh, well, thank you so much. I really appreciate you having me on. I'm so excited. It's so fun to do things like this, and your questions were awesome. I have so much fun doing these things and just getting to share a part of me and my story and my music that, you know, doesn't normally get to be heard. So I really appreciate what you're doing for independent artists and for having me on your show today.
Absolutely. Well, and you've got a open invitation back to the show anytime you want to come back on.
Oh, my gosh, you're amazing. Well, thank you so much. I would absolutely love that.
Hey, before we go, do me a quick favor, will you please?
Yeah.
Tell your manager that she absolutely rocks.
Oh, my gosh, I so will. She is so incredible. I will text her as soon as I get off the phone and let her know. She is so wonderful. She really is such a light. She is just so sweet.
She absolutely is. And thank her for setting this up for us.
Yes, I for sure will.
I think we're going to let you go and let you get back to your evening. But thank you again for doing this. This has been so much fun.
Yes, awesome. Thank you so much. I hope that you have a wonderful evening. And thank you again so much for having me on the show.
All right, I'll talk to you later, Brooke, okay?
All right, sounds good.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Well, enjoyed our interview with the lovely Miss Brooke Lynn. Coming up next Tuesday at 4:30 Central, we welcome back to the show our lovely friend Miss Jenny Thoman. So I think with that, I think I'm going to end the episode right here. You've been listening to Quick Days with Murph. Thank you and goodbye.